Atlanta was turned up, and Atlanta was protesting. Atlanta was upset.
We stand today because of Breonna Taylor.
There was a sort of political awakening.
A multiracial coalition of conscience poured out into American streets.
I was literally looking outside of my window at people upset. I first just started out just bringing water, and I wanted to do more and more, and then I felt like, how could I do more if I was half in and half out? And so I made the decision to just be all in. After much thought, I've decided to opt out of the 2020 WNBA season. There's work to be done off the court in so many areas in our community. I do feel that now is the time, and moments equal momentum.
Moments equal momentum. What did you mean by that?
I meant that, like, look, the protest, that's adding moments, and it's adding to the momentum. Everybody thinks you gotta do something amazing, and you really don't, you know? Like, you just need to add your moment. That could literally be a tweet that somebody reads, but everybody has a moment.
What were some of your biggest reservations when you thought about sitting out the season?
I've been playing basketball, oh my God, since I was like five, you know? And it's a part of my being. Giving that up was tough. I didn't know where that next check was coming from.
Across the board, professional female athletes don't often make the same or even come close to what male athletes make.
Yeah, it was a scary situation in that aspect, but honestly, I just took a leap of faith.
Renee joined a long line of female athlete activists who have spoken up, from track and field stars Rose Robinson and Wilma Rudolph, to tennis star Naomi Osaka, to fellow basketball players Maya Moore and Tiffany Hayes.
I think what you were hearing from Renee Montgomery as she took a break from basketball was that these are not usual times.
The WNBA as a league also led the way. In July, dedicating the entire 2020 season to social justice issues, honoring the Black Lives Matter movement and the Say Her Name campaign. In a controversial move, then-Dream co-owner Kelly Loeffler opposed the plan. The conservative millionaire Republican was an appointed U.S. senator and faced an upcoming election in November.
She's a law and order conservative who backs the blue.
She wrote to the WNBA commissioner saying, "The lives of each and every African American matter, and there's no debating the fact that there is no place for racism in our country. However, I adamantly oppose the Black Lives Matter political movement. I believe it is totally misaligned with the values and goals of the WNBA and the Atlanta Dream, where we support tolerance and inclusion."
The WNBA has embraced the Black Lives Matter political organization. This is a very divisive organization based on Marxist principles.
Well, who didn't have your back, and it was something that I was very critical of, was, of course, Kelly Loeffler. This is a woman that signs your checks.
Yeah.
Okay. What did you make of what she said?
If you felt that way, why didn't you just say something earlier? We know that you're running as a Republican senator. For you not to be with Black Lives Matter, well, I mean, half of our league, majority of our league, is the Black and brown community. Why are you writing the letter now?
Renee responded with an open letter of her own.
Your comments hurt deeply because it was a veiled All Lives Matter response. And you're speaking from a position of immense influence as a team co-owner in our league and as a U.S. senator.
You offered an opportunity for a conversation.
Yeah.
Did she ever take you up on that offer?
She did not.
We reached out to Loeffler through the Dream and her organization, Greater Georgia, and received no response.
I mean, everybody's seen what happened with Colin Kaepernick. So what was your level of concern that something like that might happen to you as well?
Pretty high. You're going head to head with your boss, and that's never a good idea.
The stakes couldn't have been higher. Loeffler was fighting for her Senate seat against a field that included political newcomer, Reverend Raphael Warnock. The balance of the Senate would depend on the Senate races in Georgia, and Renee was in the fight, urging voters to make their voices heard.
Vote strong, vote informed, and remember the 3rd of November.
You can hit them where it hurts by hitting them in the voting booths.
There was nothing short of our democracy at stake.
By early August, WNBA players across the league, led by Seattle Storm's Sue Bird and the Dream's Elizabeth Williams, were throwing their support behind Reverend Warnock, sending a clear and provocative message that they would not remain silent.
They actually vetted Senator Warnock, and they found out what he was running on, and then they liked it, and then they wore the shirts.
They emerged with those T-shirts that said "Vote Warnock," but in a real sense, while they were supporting me, it was much bigger than me. It was about them raising their voices as athletes who knew that this was a defining moment.
The WNBA's players amplifying their voices did a lot to make sure that we had the outcomes that we had in November and in January.
History in Georgia.
Thank you so very much. I am going to the Senate to work for all of Georgia.
Record voter turnout, thanks to early voting, drop boxes, mail-in ballots, and grassroots campaigns, helped make all the difference.
This was national news. The WNBA has a place in history.
Elections have consequences. This is the new South. This is the emerging American electorate unfolding before our very eyes.
But in the wake of the 2020 election, Georgia passed new legislation overhauling election laws that Republican supporters say improves voting security and efficiency.
It expands early voting. It actually puts drop boxes into the law for the first time ever.
But opponents argue the new laws make it harder for people of color and those who are low income to vote.
What we're witnessing in Georgia and all across the country is politicians who are trying to turn our democracy on its head so that rather than the voters picking the politicians get to pick their voters. And we have to stand up in this moment.
I think a lot of people try to put politics even to the side and be like, oh, I'm not into politics. I don't get into it. But like, politics is all the way into us. Like, politics is scared of us.
And as for Renee, she continues to pile up her moments as a studio analyst for Atlanta Hawks games and part owner of a fan-controlled football team.
Let's just get it done.
And while she may have wiped away tears as she announced her retirement as a player on her podcast,
dear basketball, I shouldn't be crying over you because we're still going to be together, but let's just keep this momentum going.
Renee's biggest move came in February. Former Senator Kelly Loeffler selling her interest in the Atlanta Dream to a group that included Renee Montgomery.
So what's next?
What's next is not letting what happened in 2020 just be that little moment. It needs to be a movement now. Let's continue what we started because we're doing something. Something's happening.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
The sport of gymnastics is very much seen as a very rigid sport. For generations, it promoted a Russian balletic classical body type. That's who was dominating the sport of gymnastics.
Three-time Olympian Dominique Dawes broke barriers in her sport, becoming the first Black gymnast to win a gold medal.
If you came into the sport like I did in the 80s, having bow legs and a very muscular physique, you were penalized for something that you were born with. And if you were going to try to express yourself, trust me, you were going to get deducted for that. It's a very subjective sport. It's a very political sport. I lived a childhood in the sport of gymnastics in so much fear and so much intimidation.
We'll now see Dominique Dawes lock in her new floor exercise routine.
In 1996, 19-year-old Dawes stepped onto the floor of the USA Gymnastics National Championships.
That was a little bit more of a classical routine, which is not my strong suit. We chose that because that was playing to the judges. It's not playing to my fans.
Dawes would win a bronze medal at the Olympics for the same routine.
Never in my wildest dreams would I ever see hip-hop, pop, or soul music used at an Olympic Games. However, I truly believe that's something that could be on the horizon.
Before I go on, I shut everything off, except for which of my 18 personalities do I want to be today? And I present, and I step onto the floor. It's the floor exercise, but it's a stage to me. I'm reaching potentially millions of people.
More than 15 million, to be exact. UCLA gymnasts Mark Zetter Frazier and Nia Dennis going viral with her floor exercises celebrating Black culture. Mark Zetter joining Janet's Rhythm Nation. Nia throwing up a fist to Kendrick.
We started with Kendrick Lamar because he's a huge activist in his music, and I wanted to try to bring the same message through dance, through gymnastics.
Your routines were really born out of what was happening in society.
I actually just had shoulder surgery back in June. That's around the time when all of the protests were happening. So I definitely wanted to create a floor routine that was a reflection of what was going on and how I was impacted. Title of this routine, I wanted to call it The Culture. And I'm like, how do I bring so much of the Black culture in a minute and 30 seconds?
When people see your routines, I think there's a surprise element about it because they're like, oh my God, they did that. And the word audacity comes up. Like, who gave you permission? Did you give it to yourself?
I've definitely given myself the audacity to do these floor routines that best suit me. But I would say UCLA Gymnastics gave me the opening.
For years, the UCLA Gymnastics program has championed and embraced each athlete's personality. In 2019, Kaitlyn Ohashi's routine broke the internet.
The gymnasts having the courage to express their true selves and choose music that they grew up with is a huge step when gymnastics is such a cutthroat, very strict sport.
I've been doing gymnastics since I was 4 years old. It has its highs and definitely has its lows, and it's taught me so many life lessons that made me stronger as a Black woman. For me, the biggest thing was hair. My hair was always natural for most of my career, and my hair was always sticking up or was always poofy, and my teammates always wanted to, can I touch it? Like, why is it sticking up?
You're in a white-dominated sport, and you're a couple of Black girls who said, I'm gonna come up here, change the game. Was it tough?
Being a Black woman in general, you always know that you have to raise the bar for yourself higher than most to get half as far as your white counterparts.
I've been called ghetto, ratchet, like this is not gymnastics. And of course, why is this Black excellence? And why does it have to be Black excellence? Why does there have to be a color to say, you don't see color is to say you don't see me and you don't see who I am fully.
How do you shake it off?
Ooh, well, to shake it off, you have to let it get on you first. Growing up, it was brought to my attention, the style of my gymnastics, it was always very, very strong. And then the other girls would get elegant, poised, artistic.
Graceful.
Graceful, yeah.
Is there a little sadness to it?
It stings a little, but what's most important is that I know that I'm graceful and beautiful, and those are just other people's opinions, and it is a subjective sport that I did sign up for.
While Mark Zetter and Nia rocked the world of collegiate gymnastics, many others have started speaking up on a range of social issues. Simone Biles, the most decorated gymnast in history, using her platform to push for equality.
I love the fact today that Simone Biles can be as outspoken and truthful as she is today. I would say to keep it up. Young athletes need to see people that are not going to be controlled by the system. We do need to break the rigidity of the sport of gymnastics. We need to learn to embrace people's differences, embrace the messages that they want to put out, also embracing different body types. And I cannot wait for a day in the sport of gymnastics where you're not deducted for something that you have absolutely no control over.
The two college students are taking their activism further than their floor routines.
Black excellence is confidence.
Empowering.
They helped create a Black Excellence Meet hosted by UCLA.
To be competing and feeling supported and feeling loved for a matter that is serious to us and to the rest of society, you know, it means everything.
My message is to be your most authentic self. And This was my most authentic self, this floor routine, a little hip hop routine. And I definitely want everybody to be inspired to go out there and be their most authentic self.
The gymnastics is such a small, minuscule part of what we're doing. That is simply the plate. And the meal that's on top is the activism. It's the way we dance. It's the smiles we bring people.
Will you see what you're doing in the Olympics?
Hopefully. I hope we have inspired somebody to go out there and do a hip-hop pop routine at the Olympics. It's so much fun to watch. Like, why wouldn't you want to see that on the biggest stage?